The Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible teaches also that Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded the eyes of the people, they cannot see when good cometh. So living in the midst of good, they do not see it. For I would say to you, as to an answer, where is all of this wonderful thing of the word? I would say, first of all, the Bible teaches that the stars declare his handiwork. Where is the wonders of this word? When you look at the stars, the word made the stars. When you look at the birds, the word made the birds. When you see the trees, when you feel the breeze, when you see the beautiful flowers blooming, when you see the tide of the ocean rolling in, and that great depths of water, the brooks, the streams, when you see humanity, little girls and boys playing, and people eating and drinking and riding and laughing and talking, all of that is the fulfillment of the word. That's that great, wonderful word of God. When you see people healthy and when you see people enjoying life, it's because God sent his word and healed them. And when they're free of demon spirits and devils, it's because the Bible said God sent his word and cast out the demon spirits. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word said, let there be, and there was. And all down through the history of mankind, this wonderful word of God has caused times and seasons to change continually until today. We're standing in the age of a modern world because somebody prayed, somebody believed, somebody continued to make an effort, and the wonderful word of God caused it to mature and develop and continue on till we enjoy the wonderful conveniences of life. Let's give the Lord a hand. Nobody's blinder than they that Satan hath blinded, and the Bible said they shall not see when good cometh. For if this great wonderful word of God is to salvation be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Sometimes I just, you know, I get along by myself maybe over in the morning or sometimes around home, and I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking about the wonderful word of the Lord. I'm meditating in the word of the Lord, and I think about the wonderful word of the Lord, and I get to thinking about breathing. I say, oh God, I thank you so much because I can feel this oxygen going down into my lungs, and I can feel the breath of life that you breathed into Adam's nostrils that made him a living soul. And I say, I thank you, Lord, I thank you for that wonderful breath that you give to me. And then I look around as I walk sometimes and I say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not blind. I'm so thankful that I can see the little birds and the trees and the wonderful light. And Lord, though I think sometimes I have problems, really I don't have any problems. You know, and I'll be walking around and sometimes I just get to thinking and I say, oh Lord, I'm so glad that you haven't taken my legs and my feet away from me, that I wasn't born crippled. You know, with an affliction like that, I can walk where I want to. I can run. I can climb, you know, go up a hill or a mountain, in and out of a cave. I've done it many times. And I say, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord. And on and on and on. I thank him for my hearing. And I thank him that I'm not dumb. I thank him that I can talk. And I thank him that I can hear the songs of the birds and the beautiful music and songs of people. And I just go on and on and on thinking of what he hath done for me. What wonderful things he hath done for us. I'm grateful to have a little opportunity as to show him my love and to go out and win a soul or tell somebody else about this wonderful word of God. This is the word of life. Jesus said the wonderful word of God. This is the wonderful word of God. We sing that song, sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Beautiful words, wonderful words, beautiful words of life. So Jesus said, my words that comes forth from my lips, he said, these words are spirit and they are life. But he said, only my sheep can hear my voice, to hear these wonderful words. The world doesn't hear this. See, they're cut off from it. They are dead. They are among the dead. Living in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they live. Their ambitions is toward the world and the educational side of life, the intellectual side of life, the carnality of that which enticed Eve as unto death, to be carnally minded, to learn intellectually, even to know religiously as to intellectual learning the word, and still abide within death. And one thing, you know, I've learned that when we follow lust as to the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or the lust of the flesh, that we are courting the devil. You know, as a man or woman, when you think on a man or woman, or you think on the opposite sex, and you observe vanities as in this world, lying vanities, in that Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Satan save us, the things that be of vanity or the things that be of the world. That when you do this, that you are courting Satan, because he's the infiltration of the body. And when you desire a man or a woman as to passions, or you desire the things of the world as to the handiwork of man or woman, see, you are courting Satan, and you are desiring Satan and the inspiration of Satan as to the quickening of lust to satisfy your fleshly being, and you are defiling the temple of God, which he will destroy. But when you are dead to the flesh, in mortifying the deeds of the body, and putting all these things aside, and then you are in the Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit, and you talk in the Spirit, and your conversation is in heaven, then you're courting God as his bride. You're courting him. You're courting the inspiration as to the quickening of that which is the innermost being, as to the inner man. Whereas Paul said, though the outer man perish, as to putting him down, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Saying, they that belong to God have mortified the flesh or the body with the deeds thereof. O wretched man that I am, the body of this death, who shall deliver me from that evil concupiscence? And Paul said, by Christ's body we're delivered from that body. And that body is dead, and that body is buried, and that body is gone. And the inspirations that we now have is the quickening of the inner man, as to the thrill of this outer man. By those inspirations we find holiness and virtue and godliness that produces fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. But you that are not born again have reasoning and resentment and lust and concupiscence, and you have enticement, and you have desire, and you lean to your own understanding as non-submission of your spirit to the ministry and to one another. In that the Bible said, submit yourself one to another, and especially to the ministry who watches after your soul, as them that must give an account to God. So then you court demons, you court evil spirits, you court Satan. And thus you become the body of Satan, in that inspiration as to spirit changes you into whatever you are. So then your inner man becomes one with Satan. And you that love the Lord, your inner man becomes one with Christ. And according to your spirit is your nature, and according to your nature is your body. And according to that is your image. As the lemon nature, so it is bitter. As the apple nature, so it is sweet. And whatever the nature is, that's what the tree is. And that's the kind of fruits that it produces. And I say this to you every once in a while, to get something over to you, that you don't just emerge into God as one doing better or one not doing so good. And saying, we differentiate to say, well, he does good and this one doesn't do good. And we say, and that man is born again and this one isn't born again. That's not the way it works. As a conception, so is the birth. As to whatever the father, so is the son or the child. So that means whether black or white, whether yellow or red, or that means whatever it might be as to the Ethiopian or the Chinese or the whatever it might be. See, so when you are born again, there is a divine conception. And you conceive of the word of God within your heart. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And whatever that nature is, in that we are partakers of the divine nature, so is the image as to configuration. That is the child. And you know, it's strange, but like a child, you don't have to teach that little one to speak Spanish, if it is a Spanish child. You don't have to teach it to speak English if it is an English child. Neither do you have to teach it to speak Chinese if it is a Chinese child. See, the nature automatically brings forth the language. One of the hardest languages in the world to learn is the English language. But when I was born into the world, I just, after a while, just came here speaking it. Wasn't a bit of a problem for me. So, that's the way it is with God. God gives you lips with tongues of fire. And when you are born of His Spirit after the death of this first outer being that's filled with corruption and desire for worldly attire as to position, career, and whatever it might be, once it's dead by the body of Jesus, to reckon that in your mind, you're born again. Then when you are born again, that Spirit of Christ coming into your heart automatically brings forth the utterance of holy things and godly things and sweet, virtuous things. And the virtue from the inner man fills your body, and you think on those things that are lovely and pure and virtuous. Because, as I said before, God on the inside of you is trying to get to somebody to bring healing and deliverance. But between heaven and earth, there's a middle wall of partition. Between your inner man and your brother in his spirit, there's a middle wall of partition. And for that power that you're endowed with as receiving the Holy Ghost, the Bible said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So then when you receive that, you have the potentiality, the power of God, as to potential power. But to turn it into kinetic energy, as to kinetic power, as to a utilization that you might do as Jesus did when He returned in the power of the Spirit, then that means that you've got to break down this wall of resistance. Jesus already had power. He already had the Spirit, was driven into the wilderness and wrestled with the devil for 40 days, and during that time did eat nothing. And was tempted for 40 days. And when Jesus finished, He had conquered the flesh. Completely conquered it. The devil never had one place in Him. And when Satan came, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me. And when Jesus conquered that one body, then He had power over all flesh. That means He had conquered the devil in any human body. So when He conquered it, once He conquered it, then He came back because He broke down the middle wall of partition and He'd filled that body with virtue. And so then when the power of God from within wanted to flow through that canal or that channel of the human body to somebody to heal them, there was no breach in the Spirit. There was no shortage as to that light that people might see. Well, that is to say, He was driven into the wilderness, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and He returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. As to the utilization of the power, I say this so often, the church already has power. You don't have to look for power. It's the utilization of that power which flows through the channel of faith, and that channel of faith, as we say, has to be virtue. And that virtue has to come about as to faith. And that faith has to come about as of love, in that faith worketh by love. And that virtue, Jesus returning in the power of the Spirit, then when He returned in the power of the Spirit, the Bible said virtue went out from His body and healed all the people. And when the little woman touched Him, virtue went out from His body. He said, I perceive that virtue has gone out from me, because He had stored up virtue. Like it was said on Pentecost, tarry here till you be endued with power from on high. So, the mystery of godliness is great, and yet we're given the mind of understanding. As a steward, we should know and we should teach it. that the church is to come into this in the latter times, that the body might become very virtuous, to be changed into the glorified image as to the celestial body, to where it cannot die. Because Satan cannot get near virtue. Virtue drives him away. That's why he seeks harlots and whoremongers. And that's why he's turned the world into harlots and whoremongers. And that's why the Bible said in the latter days it would be a generation of vipers. Call them adulterous generation. They lust with their eyes. They dress accordingly to create lust. They lust after the things of the world. You don't have a wife anymore, but what lusteth. Not a living woman on the earth, but what she lusteth. Not a living man on the earth, but what he lusteth. There is no more. And the Bible said all of them have become unprofitable and gone out of the way. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. For all have sinned. All have corrupted their way before God. All have turned to their own way and done their own thing and looked to their own quarter for their own gain. See, so he being our example and him having the virtuous spirit, God has sent forth his spirit. At his death, separating that spirit from the body, he sent his spirit into our heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because it is the sonship spirit. And that sonship spirit makes us the son of God, the child of God. And if we be children, then are we heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ of this great, wonderful, eternal blessing. That's why that I praise this wonderful Word of God. This wonderful Word of God. All right. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel as to the wonderful Word of God, for herein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. I want to read just a little bit. They usually don't start the messages to the audience on TV until I get to a certain place. So I take advantage of that a lot of times just to share with you, my spiritual children, as to what is right and what is wrong. But the whole world is taken in lust. I come here to Bethlehem to preach, and my audience is filled with lust. I don't see anything much about it. I just go on my way. I go home, my house is filled with lust. I go out to fellowship brethren and people and out to eat, and the whole area is illuminated with lust. See, and if I say anything about it, then I get a repercussion. Because people are self-righteous and every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And it's kind of like when God has a need or I have a need, you know, and we've got a battle to fight or we've got a financial problem. At that particular time, everybody has a problem. Practically everybody has a problem. Or they're going somewhere or they can't help. But nevertheless, God sees it through. And like the song that we wrote, in that the world is in that kind of a condition, then Jesus himself has come down and taken it upon himself to fulfill the word of the Lord and to bring us salvation. I want to read from chapter 13. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Remember, each day of your life, you lust continually. You lust. The women walk around on the campground and lust after the men. And the men walk around and lust after the women. And they separate from each other. And the woman, she rides off to lunch and she lusts. And the man, he rides off to lunch and he lusts. See, and as soon as they get out of the preacher's presence, they meet each other and they lust. And the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy. So then the lustful generation, and God promised to burn it with fire. They either lust after passions and one another, as to intermingle or have affairs with one another in their mind, to commit adultery in their hearts, or they lust after automobiles and homes, or they lust after clothing or their face or their bodies or whatever, you know, as to whatever it might be, the convenience of life, to have the gullible desires of that which Satan desires. In doing that, they give their mind to the thoughts as to the inspiration as they court Satan. That's why we need the mind of Christ. Your body is going to marry him. It says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. You know, it says in the 14th chapter, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And he goes on to tell how that you speak mysteries unless you prophesy. You speak mysteries in the spirit. But the thought is, he said that we're to follow after charity, and then he goes into that of the spiritual gifts. Because it is by love or charity, the love of God, the sacrificial love, it is by that love that faith works. It is by that love that faith works, and it is by faith that all the things of God come to you. When you're born to the seed of God, you're born of love. I base my fellowship on love. No matter where I go, into what country, as to what people, I do not base my fellowship on doctrine. I base it on the love of God. And I find fellowship and relation with them by love. Now, someone would say, well, that's a compromise, Brother Pike. No, that's not a compromise. For the Bible speaks of the love of God as to what is the love of God? He said the love of God is to keep his commandments, which is his doctrine. So when you base it on love, you just have a tender, God-like approach. And then you come to this wonderful thing. And when you come to fellowship, when people say, I see God, God is love. Then when you win their confidence and you explain to them a little bit, your heart begins to speak. And it begins to speak of the wonderful works and ways of God as to the doctrine of Christ. Because the love on the inside of you, that love automatically begins to express itself. So we see that love is possessive. Love can reach out and take hold of someone. Let a young man meet a young woman. Never seen her in his life. But let him meet her. And let her meet him. Be around one another for a few minutes. And love emanating, true love emanating from the heart of the man to the woman. And from the woman to the man. And in a little while, love has taken over. And love has counseled out every thought, every ambition, everything, until they have such a desire for one another that love meets love, and love embraces love, and love becomes one with love. That is to say, that man's spirit and woman's spirit becomes one. Now, the Bible said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, that is to say, if love within your spirit as a man has brought you to the love which is in your wife as a woman, then love has joined you together. And you should be there for the rest of your life. And you should never separate. Now, and you won't. If you walk upright, you won't. See, but when a man meets the woman, a woman meets a man, and it isn't love, then Satan, the spirit of the world, the spirit of lust, reaches out from man to woman and from woman to man and joins them together in lust. And they lust after one another to the extent they feel like they could just eat each other up. And some of them leave the natural use of the body and become so evil and wretched and corrupt in this drive of lust until they are ashamed for the rest of their life and rejected in the sight of God. That is to say, angels being greater in power and might requires a greater inspiration as to an outlet of the body. And when lust comes into the body, instead of the normal union as to reproduction or satisfaction as to human beings, that is to say, the Bible said to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Instead of coming to this place, the devil soon burns their bodies out. This generation that we've got, they don't marry. They live like dogs and like animals. And they burn their bodies out. And the young women are beginning to look like old hags. And men look like old barflies. That is, they've come to the place to where they burn their bodies out with lust. Staying up all night long, they don't get any sleep. And soon the nerves are fatigued and the nerve energy is gone. And then the beauty and radiance of youth begins to leave. It begins to leave because Satan has used up their potentials early. Do you know the Bible said Moses, who only had one companion, even when he was old, as the world would say, the Bible said the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. His eyesight had not waxed dim. He was still a young man. And did you know that Abraham, when God renewed the youth, and it's to Sarah, God renewed that youth and they were still young and reproductive. And I say those things to get over a thought to you. Through watching television, you're putting your eyes out. Through staying up at night, you're becoming old before your time. And God doesn't care for age. God is not the God of age, though he is the Ancient of Days. God, and though his hair is as white as wool, when John sees him, he does not have any part of youth missing. He is full and radiant in youth to the full extent. Because he hath no pleasure in death, and death is not of God, and death did not emanate from God. Death come by man because of man's foolishness and man's violation. He brought this instigation. And the only way it'll ever be conquered is by man to conquer it. Because it is something that man let in. God has suffered it, and it has become beneficial to the extent that it kills out the wicked. But we pass from death unto life when we receive the Spirit, because the Spirit is eternal life, and Spirit is life. And when you're born again, you get the Spirit. And when you get the Spirit, then you are alive, because there's no life in religious activities of going to church, preaching, going, whatever, there's no life in that. The new birth is Spirit. Life is Spirit. And when you get the Spirit, you may stumble, you may stagger, but you're still alive in God and you still have eternal life. You still have eternal life. But if you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. You don't have life. It doesn't matter how devoted you are to a religious cause or whatever sect as to religious belief that you belong to, it doesn't matter. See, life is Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you can be a believer all you want to. But you're still dead. All right, so we see that it's marvelous to be a Christian. It's marvelous to make that contact because you are alive forever. And it's marvelous to come to this wonderful Word of God, to know this wonderful Word. Jesus, as he walked the earth, he spoke. How beautiful was his words. People came to hear him. A lot of times, the leaders of the Pharisees and scribes would say, go confound him, trip him up in his words, and were always trying to trip him or trap him. But the Bible said after listening to him, they would return and they'd be praising him. And they would say, are you also deceived? Did he deceive you? They said, never man spake like this man. Never. We've never heard words from lips, wonderful words from the lips of Jesus. We've never heard words like this before. And his words are with power. He commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. See, when we're speaking as the minister, it's not us speaking, but it's Christ speaking from within his temple. Let all the world keep silent, because it is God speaking the wonderful words of life. And what is God doing? He's judging the hearer. Faith cometh by hearer, and that by the word of God. That is to the hearing, as to the hearer. So then, when this word comes, it is judging you. And judgment is beginning at the house of God. And God has given all judgment into the hands of the Son. So then, as Paul said, the words that I speak, the same shall judge you in the last day. Well, that is whatever it is to you now, as to be remitting your sins or retaining your sins. That's the way it's going to be with you in the end, in the day of judgment. It's just exactly like I have said. As on earth, so in heaven. So then we're here speaking the words of life, and according to your believing, according to your believing, Jesus said, so be it unto you. That's why it says to have charity, for charity believeth all things. Jesus, walking on the way to Emmaus, he rebuked them. He reproved them, and he said, oh, slow of hearts to believe. And he headed up by saying, fools. Fools, he said. Fools. Because they were slow of heart to believe, he called them fools. Because they would not submit their spirits, he called them fools. Fools and slow of heart to believe all things that the prophets have said. All things. For charity believeth all things. We should come to the place to where we believe all things. We should enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise. We should give our spirits completely unto God and to the Word of God. Someone would say, well, I can't do that, Brother Pike. Well, why don't you leave this place? Why don't you go to a place that you can? Because you do not have a born-again experience. You cannot be saved until you do. So then why not leave? Why throw your soul away? Why not go to someone that you can confide in as to Christ in their life? Paul said, follow me. Somebody says, I can't trust you. I know, I teach that we're to have no confidence in the flesh. Not any at all. Not even in our own flesh. We are they that have no confidence in the flesh. But at the same time, the Bible said Jesus was a man and the Word was made flesh. And he was without sin. And we follow him. Someone would say, well, then that means that Paul was wrong. We do have confidence in the flesh. It's just Jesus' flesh. No, the Bible said we have known him after the flesh. But from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh. For he was made in the image of sin. But we know him not as the deliverance as to our, you know, for our offenses, but rather the raising of the spiritual quickening second man Adam as the quickening spirit unto justification. So Paul said, follow me. Me. He was a man. Follow me as I follow Christ. See, which means you've got to have confidence in the Christ that's inside of that minister. You've got to have confidence. Because the Bible said for you to submit yourself unto that minister. He's the shepherd of the sheep. You submit yourself unto him as he submits himself unto Christ, I will say. But you submit yourself unto him. It didn't say as he submitted himself unto Christ. It said you submit yourself unto him, for he is the one that watcheth for your soul. And as Paul said, and he must present you to God because he's the shepherd and you're the sheep. So then you find that people don't do that. They are wandering stars everywhere. Don't submit themselves unto anybody except their own devilish carnal mind as to what they say is God that takes them and sends them and commands them. And they do what they want to do. See, but the Bible says, you're not only to submit yourself as unto the minister for the sake of your soul, but you are to submit yourself one to another as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you be thoroughly linked together, that there be no schisms in the body. Submitting yourself. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you'll never do that as to the people. Jesus said, saying, as unto one, we say the same thing unto all. See, you'll never do that because you have an ambition. Man has an ambition. All men and women have an ambition. There's a goal in their life that they must accomplish. Something that they must accomplish. Whether it's to subdue the opposite sex for the gullible desires of passion. Or whether it's to get rich and have a name. Or get up in society, become a celebrity or some kind of star. Some kind of talent that they want to manifest. Or some kind of goal. And they don't rest day or night. See, a spirit has them. And that spirit is looking for that gold. And whatever that gold is, that spirit will drive them till the last breath of that body is gone. Whether it's just a roaming spirit, a restless spirit, a wandering spirit that wander through dry places, whatever it might be. Speaking of spiritually dry places. See, so we find that those people do not have the love of God. They do not have the Spirit of God. If they had the love of God, then the love of God is possessive. It would swallow them up, like I spoke of concerning the couple. See, and as the feminine part in him is the masculine part, we would be swallowed up because we are the weaker species. And we'd be swallowed up of his strong spirit that leads us to repentance, and the love of God that constrains us, and this love of wooing that emanates from his breast that takes hold of our spirit. We'd literally be swallowed up. See, but if we have a demon spirit, he won't come near us. We have to, if we are in sin, hear that voice. When we hear that voice, then we have to repent. Because we hear an intellectual expression as to a written word that says there is a God and there is a Jesus that died. There's a blood atonement and this rain is on the just and the unjust. Let whosoever will come and come and repent of your sins. And then when we hear that word, then we all go to repent, even as Esau, who did not find the birthright. We all take on repentance. But the ones that have been washed, as to the sow, she goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog returns to his vomit, as to his own talk and his own thing, as to his own thoughts, to lap his own vomit, doing his own thing. But they that are born of God, there's something that penetrates the walls of resistance, and the deep calls unto the deep at the water spout of God, and it goes way down the inside. And there is something that's deep, that's hid from the eyes of men, within the breast of men. And there is something that is far, far above the thinking of man, so far as the heavens is above the earth. And the deep is calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. And this love that's emanating from God touches this. And there is a response from this maiden that's waiting to hear the voice. In that the body is female and he is male. And so here, the female is waiting for the male, or the woman is waiting for the husband, or the bride is waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And so then he calls, and like the voice of the turtle dove when it's heard in the land, the voice of the turtle is heard, and he begins to go, whoo, and he'll coo like that. When he goes to coo like that, at the springtime or the time when the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, then there'll come an answer back from it somewhere as to a mate said a whoo and answer back, and soon they find each other. See, and this is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. Solomon said he's out in the night. He's knocking. He said, I stand at the heart's door and I knock. And whosoever will open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him, and he with me. So it is said of Solomon that I looked, said the drops of the night was in his locks. That is to say, the dew drops had fall in the night. When the sun moves away and it's not holding the mist, then it begins to drop down as the clouds and the dew drops. And it said the drops of the night are in his lap. And he's standing with his hand there at the door. Know that it's nigh even at the door. And said, and the drops of the night are in his lap. And he's knocking. And he's knocking, saying, whosoever will, if you'll open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with you. See, so then that means that we have pushed him out. Or he is out in the darkness of the intellectual mind of men as to the wondering, clothing himself, the Bible said, in darkness. He is pushed out into the intellectual world. See, and he's knocking at our heart's door. And we're to open the door of faith and love unto him to let him in. So then if you have charity, then you have everything, because charity or love is as strong as death. But if you have not charity, you have nothing, not anything at all. Though you give your body to be burned, though you do all the things as to sacrifice, but the Bible said if you have not charity, you don't have anything. Faith worketh by charity. Faith worketh by love. And that's why Paul spoke of a more excelling or excellent way. As to charity, he said, and then the gifts, because it takes faith to work the gifts. And if you have charity, then you are patient. You suffer long. Charity vaunteth not itself. That is, it does not try to project itself as to tell everybody what it knows or say, look at me. I'm the man of the hour. I'm the woman. It doesn't do that. It does not try to project itself as to clothing, as to dress, as to painting the faces and the lips and all these kind of things, as to building the body. Charity doesn't do that. Charity fades into the background as projecting the brother, esteeming others better than itself, looking on the things of the others and seeking the welfare of the other. It does not seek its own. It does not vaunt itself. It is not puffed up as to knowledge vainly puffing up a man. It does not puff up. And it suffers long. It doesn't just suffer a little bit. It suffers all things. It suffers many things. And charity never faileth. It doth not vaunt itself. It is not puffed up. It does not seek its own. Charity doesn't go around gossiping and finding fault and backbiting. Charity is the bond of perfectness. And that's why Paul said prophecies shall fail. Many other things shall fail. Not the prophecies of God. But people prophesying, that shall fail. But he said, charity shall not never fail. Shall never fail. Not ever. And he said, and when I was a child, I spake as a child. I'd done the things as the children of the world. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And the Bible said the parents should lay it for the children. So we grow up into manhood. He said, now I saw through a glass darkly when I was a child. Well, that is to say, because Paul was a Jew, he was back under the law. And as not knowing that the day of faith and grace had come, he was looking at God through the law, as to the veil, as through Moses, and the veil over Moses' face as to that lesser light. He said, and when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I looked through a glass darkly, but not anymore. Now that I'm a man, I know the rent veil of Calvary has brought to me the light most precious. And I know that the revelation of Almighty God as to heavenly treasures there in heavenly places has been given to me that I may have it in earthen vessels. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. So he said, when that which is perfect is come, though I have known in part, but when that which is perfect is come, he said, then that which is in part shall be done away. Or done away with, as we say. So then, as to Calvary, that which was perfect came. Jesus was the only perfection that the earth has ever known. Until then, it was all in part. Everybody done their thing. But when Jesus hung upon Calvary, he said, it is now finished. As to the fullness of time, that which was perfect had at last come. And when it come, then that meant that you and I were now partakers of perfection. For the Bible speaks of them that died under the law, not having received the promise, saying that the law, the coming thereunto, the law could make nothing perfect. But they were held in the grave, and they couldn't get past the middle wall of partition as to the iniquity that separated between them and God. As to Daniel, rest in thy place. Seal it up, Daniel. You can't reveal it until after the veil is rent at Calvary. And then John will see it and he'll reveal it. In that God said, John is to, now it's a revelation, not a mystery. Seal it not, John, for it is the end time. As the angel said to Daniel, it'll be the end time. When that which is perfect is come, they without us could not be made perfect. But now, since that which is perfect has come, Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison, and going down into the heart of the earth, now he hath brought forth them, giving them the robes of righteousness, brought them into that state of perfection, and to give you and I of his spirit a perfectness that we are now perfected forever, and we're not looking through the glass darkly of our intellectual concept as to religious activities toward being good, as Israel did, offering up the blood of bulls and goats. But once and for all, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the body of Jesus at Calvary. For he hath justified us by faith. He has sanctified us. He has also predestinated us unto sonship and glorified us. And the Bible said, what can we say? Or anyone say, if God be for us, who can be against us? For nothing can separate us from charity. Oh, that is to say, the love of God, which was that perfect thing toward us. I am therefore perfect by charity, the bond of perfectness. Charity is the bond of perfectness. God's love. God is love. God hath perfected me forever. God so loved me that he doesn't look at any of my faults. God so loved me that he doesn't see any of my stumblings. It's like the mother. She sees the little child and he's making mud cakes and he's taking a bite and he's grinning at her and he's rubbing it through the hair and he's a mess. But as far as she's concerned, he's the sweetest, loving little mud pie that she ever seen. And she'll pick him up, wash him off, and kiss him, and even put a little, knock a little off so she can find a place to kiss. Because her love makes him perfect. As far as she's concerned, he's the apple of her eye. Seeing God has looked on you and I the same way. We're the apple of his eye. And faith works by love, and we're saved by the grace of God through that faith. That is to say, because that mother so loves that little one, it'll take a little bite of mud cake and go back and splatter and just grin. Because that little one, every time that mother looks, even though she might look a little stern, that little one looks beyond that and sees that love. And that love inspires its believing. For its faith works by her love. There's something on the inside that said, she ain't going to spank me. She loves me. And that's the way we are. See, the love of God is so great, he inspires our faith. And sometimes we stumble and we kind of look like Brother Mike Bradley does sometimes out there. I like that. Mike's fought so many chickens, he got to where he'd do, that's the way a chicken will do, But anyway, we kind of look out the side of the eye like that, we think. A lot of times, I hear one of my sons, they'll say to the little one, maybe to Adam or Joe or whichever one, David. And they'll say, I'll tan your hide. I said, don't speak so mean to him. I'll get you. And he'll look up like that, And he'll watch for a few minutes. And he's right back to what he was doing. I remember Daryl Bennett. I'll never forget. Daryl was quite a person. He said when he was little, I was an honorary person, Brother Pike. And one day his dad came to visit with us to confirm it. It was all talking. And his dad said, Daryl, said, I don't care what I told him. So I'd look at him and I'd say, Daryl, if you touch that thing, I'll beat your hide. And said, Daryl would stand right there and look at him. Just look at him. And then all of a sudden he'd dive right into it. And that's the way we are. And sometimes we get chastened. But folks, it is a true fact. This love is so great that our faith in God don't fail. We just know that though, even though we stumble, though we do wrong, though we make mistakes, whatever it might be, we just know that his love overrides us. For where sin, doth abound, and it really doth abound in our day. Grace doth much more abound, to swallow it up, and it covers the multitude of sins. By the blood of Jesus, blessed is the man, David said, whose iniquities are forgiven, his sins are covered. That is to say, underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. So then we see that though all things fail, yet charity never faileth. And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. Well, that is to say, there's no more in part to you and I. There is no more in part to you and I. We are perfected forever. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can you stand with me? The altars are open. You're welcome to come. Can we sing, I love him? I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. I love him. Oh, that he first loved me, and he purchased salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise here, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in God's Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Do you really love the Lord? God meets with us in a great and in a mighty way. He meets with us to share with us the wonderful words of life. These words are spirit, and they are life. When we believe in them, they're turned into spirit and life. So wonderful. Go with him through the garden. Can you sing that with me? I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. We'll go with him all the way. For where he leads me, I will follow. Can you say?
sing that one?
Where he leads me, I will follow. For where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him on the way. Grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter for a long life's way. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Can you sing one more time? It's growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter for a long life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. While we've got our eyes closed, let's sing this little chorus together as we get ready to dismiss. He puts a praise within our heart. He puts a song within our heart. And we praise him. You know, the Bible says that David of old was a man after God's own heart. Why did he say that? David was courageous. David was fearless. David done many mighty things. But the reason God said that was because David, he had a song in his heart. The Psalms of David, there was always a praise within David's heart. From the early morning to the night, it is said of Jesus, thou shalt call upon my name. David was like that. Seven times a day he went to God to pray. And all during the day, Psalms was recorded of what David said. For all the time he was making melody in his heart to God, which made his heart a joyful heart of sweetness and confidence and love and faith, with no time for gossip and those kind of things. And David loved his enemy. He said, when you were sick, my clothing was sackcloth and ashes. He did not seek the life of his enemy. So, only when God sent him out to battle, when he had to fight, he then with such courage would run through a troop and leap over a wall. But see, are we making melody in our heart to God? Jesus is within our heart. Are we loving him? Let's sing this song of praise. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain and give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Can you sing it again now? And we will praise him. We
for sinners slain. To give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
One more time now.
And I will praise Him, and I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. We'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
Just one more time.
So I,
can you sing it now? Can you sing it?
And I will pray. Lord, for sinners slain, give Him all ye people, for His blood washed away every stain.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I would ask Brother Ron to come up, if he will, and dismiss us. And while Ron comes, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith of that wonderful Word of God. That wonderful Word of God. You love the Lord. Ron coming up makes me think of God Almighty, where appears in the day of judgment as the great light, when the Bible said His hair was as white as the wool. So, the Bible said it was as the sun shineth within His strength. Powerful, mighty, glorious, the wonderful God who became the wonderful words of life to you and I. As our brother Ron prays, remember us, remember our trip, remember the children of Bethlehem. And while we're gone, then you do what you can on the home front, because you're going to be rewarded according to your efforts and your works, according to your endeavors. This is the way you're going to be rewarded. Tonight will be the last night that we'll have with you for maybe several weeks. Going on into the Holy Land, we see something in it for God. But you pray for us. Don't fail to pray for us every night. Pray for us. Ask God to open doors to us and deliver us, Paul said, from the hands of the wicked and evil. I don't know what will befall us any time that we go out. It's dangerous. But the thing is, when I first went into Israel, I had a vision as I was praying beside my bed that they were stoning me to death at the gate. And this is the seventh time and they could do that. I don't expect that. I believe God will bless us. He'll bring us right on back home. But they could, because things are happening, and they're zealous of the tradition of the fathers, even as they were in the days of Paul. And if God repeats Himself as He did in Paul, then Satan will repeat himself in them. For the Bible said concerning that people, the wrath of God has come to them, come upon them to the uttermost, having killed the prophets and the wise men. And the tribulation is now laying upon them, when it's going to be such a horrible time, and a tribulation such as the world has never known. What a horrible, horrible time for those people. Pray for Israel, that God will open their eyes, that they may have the shield of faith, and they may return again to the blessing and not to the curse, as Deuteronomy has said. To call on the name of the Lord Jesus while He is near. Pray, remember their fall. was the brightness of the coming of salvation to the Gentile people. And the diminishing of the Gentile people, as Paul said, shall it not then be Christ returning to them as to their resurrection? For the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world. What shall the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? And if the root be holy, is not the lump also holy, or the tree holy? Hath God cast away his people? God forbid, Paul said. For he said, I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, to whom God has given all of the wonderful things, such as the covenant, such as the promises, such as the glory and the service. For as it is written, out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and all of Israel shall be saved. So pray for us and pray for Israel. The Bible said, they that pray for Israel shall prosper. If you want to prosper, start praying for Israel and see if it don't change your whole life. All right, as our brother comes, may the Lord bless you.